We're gonna have to turn me down because I'm like super loud. It's like that booming voice from God. We could probably go way down now. See if we can find the right spot. Okay, is that better? Not scary at all? We're good to go. My name is John Simonson. I'm the associate pastor here at Foley United Methodist Church. It's my joy to welcome all of you that are in the room, all of you that are watching online. It's my joy to get to bring the word to you this morning. So last week, we talked about serving. We talked about that scene where Jesus was at the Last Supper and he gets down, he takes off his outer clothing, he ties a towel around his waist, and he kneels down and starts to wash the feet of his disciples. I mean, it's just an incredible scene. But we talked about how Jesus said, unless you do this, you don't have a place with me. It's just this incredible challenge that he tells to the disciples and to all of us that if we claim to follow Christ, then we are choosing a life of servanthood. That we have to do this and we have to serve each other and others or we don't have a place with Jesus. And that's a challenging message, right? Because it's an if and, not an if or. You know, so we don't get to choose how we're going to live if we claim Christ. Christ is telling us, if you choose me and say that you're with me, then you have to live this way. Otherwise, you don't have a place with me. And we talked about that last week and just what it means to serve. We also talked about how far we've come over the last 5 years. Just look at where we were and where we are now. We talked about these missional communities that God has really brought to our attention and kind of is starting to fold into the DNA here at Foley United Methodist Church, these four missional areas where we are called to be servants, not only to the church, but to the community around us. And that our calling is not to build Foley United Methodist Church, but to build the kingdom of God here and now in Foley, Alabama. And one of the things I've been thinking about is what are we going to look like in the next 5 years? What are some of the challenges that we're going to face over the next 5 years? What are some of the challenges that we're going to face as we begin to fully embrace this call to join God in his mission? And how do we deal with those challenges when they come up? So I was looking through scripture and I stayed in John because John is my favorite book. I am a heart guy. Gospel John, the writer of the Gospel John, he's a heart guy. You really feel everything in the book of John. That's who I am. That's what I like. So I was stayed in John, and I came across this passage that I really think speaks to how we move forward in these next 5 years and in this mission God has called us to. So we're going to read John chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. John chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. So this is Jesus speaking, and we're just going to jump right into it. So Jesus spoke again. I assure you that I am the gate of the sheep. All who come before me were thieves and outlaws, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief enters only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came so that they could have life, indeed, so that they could have life to the fullest. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. When the hired hand sees the wolf coming, he leaves the sheep and runs away. That's because he isn't the shepherd. The sheep aren't really his. So the wolf attacks the sheep and scatters them. He's only a hired hand, and the sheep don't matter to him. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I give up my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that don't belong to the sheep pen. I must lead them too. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me. I give up my life so that I can take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I give it up because I want to. I have the right to give it up, and I have the right to take it up again. I received this commandment from my Father. These words are true, and these words can be trusted. These are the words of God. I love this passage. Just this imagery of Jesus saying, I am the gate. Everyone who enters, enters through me. I am the good shepherd. I will never leave. I will never abandon my sheep. I will always take care of them and always lead them to what's best for them. But there's others. There's thieves that want to steal, kill, and destroy. And there's hired hands who will abandon the flock at the first sign of trouble. There's really three different points in this passage that really stuck to me this week as I was thinking about everything that's going on with the church. I mean, if you just look at the past 5 years and how we got from where we were to where we are, I think that the first point really speaks to what we've been doing here. But it's also a warning for how we move forward. And that is when Jesus says, I am the gate. All who enter, enter through me. All who hear my voice and enter. I think Jesus is very clear in stating that the only voice that matters is his, right? His is the voice that leads us to safety, that guides us as we move from pen to pastor and pastor to pen. I think over the last 5 years here at Foley United Methodist Church, we have sought after God's voice, and he has led us to do amazing things. Just think about the revitalization that's happened in this church, the new life that's been breathed into this life, into this church. And that's all because we have been listening to Jesus's voice, and he has brought us into the pen and made us safe, renourished us, has continued to grow his flock here. And then he's given us a voice to follow. And that's where these missional communities come in. He's given us this plan to show us how we can live fully into being a part of his flock, but also fully into the happiness and the life that he has in store for us. But I think there's a warning there as well, because just like last week when we talked about serving and we talked about that divide in our brain that we fight against, when we want to choose to be servants, but when serving becomes an obstacle or gets in way of our schedule, it's this battle that happens inside of our brain that says, who are we going to be? Do we truly claim Jesus like he says we need to? Do we truly live the life that replicates claiming Jesus? There's that same divide that happens in our brain when we try to listen to Jesus' voice. Because Jesus leads us into a life that he knows is best for us. But that life is not always what we think is best for us. That life will challenge us to break the mold of everything we've ever learned our entire lives. Those mental models that get built up as we grow up in the world around us, as we hear society and the world tell us that we have to build our lives for us. We have to take care of ourselves. We have to surround ourselves with comfortable things. We have to get the best jobs. We have to do certain things. We have to live certain ways in order to be comfortable and happy. That's what we learn from the world. But then Jesus comes along and says, let me tell you how to truly be happy and how to live a full life. Let me tell you how to become a part of my flock. And in order to do that, you have to give up things. You have to die to this world. You have to become servants of others and put others before yourself. It's a voice that leads us, yet it's a voice that scares us because it's contradictory to everything we've ever heard. Now, we hear this scripture where it says the thieves want to kill, steal, and destroy, and we always want to attribute that to outside voices other than Jesus, other leaders that, and other churches, other religions, other thoughts, other ways of thinking that compete against the way of Jesus's thinking. And that's what we want to say, that's the thief, that's the one we need to avoid. But if you're really honest, if we're really honest with ourselves, I think the biggest thief that we need to avoid and battle and confront is ourselves. It's that voice inside of us that says we know better than Jesus. It's that voice that says, I can pick and choose what I like about what Jesus says, and I can keep living the life that I've built for myself. It's this voice inside of us that says, if we step into the life that Jesus is leading us to, then we're giving up everything we've ever done for ourselves. It's that voice inside of us that all it wants to do is steal our opportunity for true joy and true life in Christ and kill any dreams we have of what that life could be. I think that's probably the biggest warning that I see in that first section of this passage. I think that's something that we're going to bump up against as we continue to grow over the next 5 years, as we begin to live into this vision that God has given us here, that we've gotten from listening to his voice. I think we're going to begin to bump into that as he starts to move us outside of these walls into the community around us. As we begin to fully live that serving life, that 100% serving each other and the community around us, we're going to begin to bump into that voice inside of us that says, you know what, we don't have to do everything Jesus says. If we just do a little bit, we're better than what we were, and that's okay. Well, that kind of leads to the second point in this passage. This point where Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for my sheep. But the hired hand, when trouble comes, runs. When you begin to serve other people, when you begin to live this life that Christ calls us to, there's going to be trouble that comes. It's going to happen. Now, what does that trouble look like? Does it look like a wolf coming to steal and scatter the herd? Well, yeah, I think it does. But is it necessarily trying to come in and kill? Maybe not. Maybe the trouble starts showing up in little ways at first. Maybe the trouble starts showing up when serving begins to hurt. When choosing to put other people first and choosing to get down and do the dirtiest job of washing feet begins to challenge us in ways that we weren't ready for. When it begins to interrupt our schedules all the time. When it begins to challenge the introvert to get out of the house and step outside, or when it begins to challenge the extrovert to back down and let others be a part of this. Trouble comes when serving begins to require more of us than we're willing to give. Because we're uncomfortable. Because we've never done it. Because I really don't want to give up that extra money. I really don't want to give up that stuff that I've worked my whole life to get. I really don't want to put other people ahead of myself. Because I've worked my entire life to take care of myself. But Jesus is telling us in this passage that he's the good shepherd. And that anyone who flees when trouble comes is a hired hand. I think what happens is as part of the flock, we begin to feel like we can help out and start trying to lead things and start trying to guide where the flock is going. But when we bump into trouble, we become the hired hands who flee. and run away. And Jesus says, I will never, ever leave my flock. I will lay down my life for my flock. I think these two points are so interlinked because we have to stay focused on the voice of Jesus, the one who calls us in, the one who calls us to be servants and members of the flock, but also the one who speaks to us and says, you can trust me. I will always do what's best for you. I will always take care of you. I will always guide you to where you need to be. All you have to do is listen to my voice and quit trying to help steer the ship. Just trust me. Lean on me. Focus on me. Follow where I lead. That way, when trouble starts to peek its head in, to fight against the flow, we can know that Jesus is there and we're going to the life he is calling us to and leading us to. We begin to push through the trouble. We begin to work through the trouble. And we begin to experience the life that only the Good Shepherd can lead us to. There's going to be times of trouble as we continue to live into this vision that God is calling us to. There's going to be times where God is calling us to different parts of the community that we may not want to go to. There's going to be people that we interact with that make us uncomfortable, that scare us, that make some of us say, I don't want to be a part of that. But if we're focused on Jesus' voice, and that's where we end up, then we can also focus on the fact that Jesus isn't going to leave us when we find ourselves standing in the midst of somewhere that makes us uncomfortable. That we can still choose his voice and trusting him and know, we can choose to know that he's the shepherd. And what he has in store for us is better than anything we can ever manage on our own. I mean, I just can't help but picture a million different scenarios where our real life needs missional community, or our table missional community, or our kids missional community is going to really come into contact with people that are different than us. And it's going to challenge who we are as followers of Christ. It's really going to bring us to that point that we have to choose if we believe what we say we believe. We have to choose if, when we say we follow Jesus, if we're willing to live like we follow Jesus. And that's when we'll find out if we truly have a place with Jesus, right? Because that's what he said when he was washing the feet. Unless you do this, unless this happens, you don't have a place with me. Unless you listen to my voice and trust me to be the good shepherd that I am, then you're listening to the thieves that only want to steal, kill, and destroy, and you're acting like the hired hands who run at the first sign of trouble. So what are we going to do when that happens? And how do we respond to God's call to build his kingdom here and now in Foley, Alabama? What are we going to do when we have those interactions that make us uncomfortable? And then the third point in this passage, the point that really strikes home to me, because you can see it happening all over the place, not just in Foley, Alabama, or Foley United Methodist Church, but in the Methodist Church as a whole, in the different denominations of the churches as a whole. You can see it happening all throughout the world. This piece where Jesus says, there are other sheep in this pen that don't belong to this pen, but they listen to my voice. I am their shepherd, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. What happens when we begin to live into this life that God calls us to? When we begin to put our actions behind our words? When we begin to listen to his voice and trust in his shepherding, and we begin to go out into the community and serve other people, what happens is that other people begin to see Christ through us. And they don't get drawn to us, they get drawn to Christ. But Jesus said he's the gate. And when people hear his voice, he will open the gate and invite them in. You can go to Acts and look at Acts, where the disciples began preaching God's word and living the way that God taught them to live. And what happened? God added to their numbers daily. God grew his flock daily. When we begin to live and listen to Jesus and trust in his leadership, when we push through the hardships and the scary things that we will do as servants to our community, what happens is God begins to grow his flock. And since he's the gate and he's the one speaking through us and working through us, he begins to open the gate to other people. I can picture these sheep in a pen that get comfortable. They've been there a while, right? They have their own little groups that they get used to. And they say, I'm going to hang out with this group. And that new guy that Jesus just let in, he can go to the other side of the pen because I don't like him. He's not like us. Look, he's got spots on him when we're solid white. He's different. I don't like different. We like to say we don't do that here. I mean, one of the things people in the community say about Foley United Methodist Church is that we're one of the friendliest churches. And we are. But that doesn't mean we're not susceptible, whatever, however you say it. It doesn't mean we're exempt, we'll just change the word, from acting like that, right? I mean, we do it without even thinking about it. We do it within our own church with different groups. I don't hang out with that group over there. This is my group over here. These are the people I like. I don't know who that person is. I've never seen them before. They go to the 8 o'clock or the 11 o'clock. We go to the contemporary worship. We're the cool ones. They're the old ones. Right? We do it without even realizing it. But when different people start showing up, how are we going to act then? When Jesus opens up the gate and brings in more people because we're listening to him and going where he leads us, how are we going to react when that outcome is God bringing and growing his flock? And they're different than us. They smell different. They look different. They act different. They don't know how to talk. They don't know what the doxology is. They don't know what it means to have communion. They don't know what time, when you're supposed to stand, when you're supposed to sit. They don't know how to dress when they show up here. They came in shorts and flip-flops. And if we're lucky, it had two buttons on the shirt. They showed up in t-shirts and jeans with holes on them that looked like they worked in them all week. Jesus says he's the gate, and he gets to let in whom he chooses to let in. And we're the flock, and it's not our job to decide who comes in the gate. That's his job. Because it's not our pen to begin with. It's his. And when those new people show up, when we try to push them to the outskirts and make them feel uncomfortable, then what are we but wolves? that are stealing and destroying any hope they have of finding the life that we were blessed with when we heard his voice. It's not our job to be the wolves that try to scatter the flock. It's our job to be the flock that hears God's voice and says, we will welcome you with open arms because we were welcomed with open arms before. And I'm telling you right now, we will run into this. As long as we keep listening to Jesus' voice, as long as we keep focused on who the shepherd is, and when the tough times come, we know that we are following Jesus and he will be there through those tough times, then what's going to happen is he's going to begin to open the gate and new people will show up here that we're not used to. Because we're not building Foley United Methodist Church here. That's not what this season is about. We're building the kingdom of God here. And his kingdom is different and larger and more diverse than anything we can ever imagine. But as long as we stay focused on his voice, as long as we trust him to be with us through all the hardships and not run away from them, and as long as we know that if other sheep show up, it's because they heard Jesus' voice and it's our job to love them, then we will find a life that only comes from a good shepherd. We will find a life of joy and peace and happiness and fullness and all the contentment and safety we could ever desire. But it'll look the way he wants it to and not the way we want it to. And if we're ready to give up on our vision and follow his, where will we be in 5 years? What will this place look like in 5 years? How amazing will this flock be? And how great is the kingdom of God as it grows in Foley, Alabama? Amen? So in all of that, what do I want you to hear? Stay focused on God's voice. And when life gets uncomfortable, when serving gets uncomfortable, choose not to be the hired hand. Don't run. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it to each other. But stay focused on God's voice and trust that Jesus will be with us through the uncomfortableness. And when this place begins to change, and different people show up, don't be the one that pushes them to the outskirts. Be the one that runs up and says, you heard his voice too? This is amazing. Welcome to his flock. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we trust you. We long for the sounds of your voice. But Lord, sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes we get scared and run away because this life of serving and following you is tough. It's tough. It asks us to do things we've never done before. It asks us to do things that are different and contrary to anything we've ever learned. Lord, you ask us to trust you and know that everything you do is for our better. It's for our good. And that everything you have in store for us is better than anything we could ever do for ourselves. But we fight against that. Lord, help us to stop fighting and start trusting. Let us always know the sound of your voice. Let us always stay in tuned with the sound of your voice. Let us push through the uncomfortableness, knowing that you will be there with us. And Lord, as you open the gate and bring new people in, to your fold. Help us to be the ones that love them. Help us to be the ones that show them they are loved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We're going to enter into response time, and today we're going to do that by taking communion about once a month. In our response time, we respond by taking communion together. And it's communion is a great way for us to remember that the world doesn't revolve around us, but that we're a part of God's story. I had a mentor when we served in Texas years ago that used to tell us kids in parenting, he would say, the sooner you learn that the world doesn't revolve around you, but it revolves around our sovereign creator God, the happier we'll all be. And that's not just true for kids, because all the heart issues that kids are dealing with are just what adults are dealing with in a different way, shape, and form. And so this is a way for us to come together and respond to God, to remember that He's not working into our story, but that we're a part of His story. If you're worshiping online with us at home, we want to invite you to participate in communion however you feel comfortable. If you want to grab a piece of bread and a cup of grape juice at home and participate in the blessing that we're